Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hi friends, welcome to episode 43 of The Fashion Hags. We're back down here in the basement trying to keep cool.
We have a fan on.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot today.
It's hotting up,
as they say in England.
Oh, really?
It's hotting
up?
Yes,
it's not too heat, it's too hot.
What?
Yes, it's very
strange.
That's
a weird thing they're doing.
It's hotting up in here. That's what Nelly would have sung. It's hotting up in here. Anyway, so we have the fan going to keep ourselves sane and moderately not sweat drenched. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Not too smelly, hopefully.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. We can't make it.
We'll see how much this new natural deodorant I'm wearing is.
Oh,
I wore it all winter and it was like, this natural, it's great. It's totally going to work. And then now it's just getting hot and I'm like,
Really testing.
This crystal deodorant doesn't seem to work that well
maybe
in the summer.
It's so efficient. Maybe we need to go back to the regular deodorant for the summertime. Just for that 2 months a year where I need it.
Yeah.
And then I can go back to my lovely natural deodorant the rest of the year. We'll see.
Yes, but we are joined tonight in the basement by the incomparable Jolene Minton.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Extra voice in the studio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We've been on a real run of guests. Yeah. We've just had some really cool people.
The Hag listeners are getting spoiled.
Yes.
With guests.
I like it.
I just keep falling in our laps and the stars align and everything works out schedule-wise. So we're happy to have Jolene, one of Evan's
colleagues.
Friends and colleagues.
We just were chatting upstairs and kind of getting into some stuff. And then I was like, oh, no, we got to go downstairs. Like,
this is kidding.
We should be recording. we're talking about too many good things here now. We're solving political problems. We're solving PR problems. We're changing the world, really.
We're making it happen.
But the real reason that we have Jolene here is a very cool, very important, at least
exciting.
In this room, we talk a lot about this kind of stuff, and it is the Indigenous Fashion Week that is coming up in Vancouver.
Yes,
and
at the end of July.
Can you real quick? We're going to ask you for the dates, and then we can jump into what we've been up to, and then we'll get into some real tea, real hot tea. So give us the dates right off the bat, so everyone can mark their calendars.
Sure. Make sure you save the date for July 26th to 29th
at
the Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Awesome.
In downtown Vancouver.
And the tickets are free, and they go on tomorrow.
Or so today, because this comes out the next day, right?
Yeah, should come out on Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, this all works out wonderfully.
So is it indigenousfashionweek.com or is there a website specific?
It's ifwvancouver.com.
Got it.
And then you can look for the tickets on there. It's an eBright ticket.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But all the information will be there.
Yes.
Excellent. Yay. Okay, great. Well, let's jump into what we've been up to. I feel like it's been a thousand years.
Yeah,
it's been a little
since
bit.
We hung out together.
Mm-hmm.
But I just went on vacation, which felt like 3 months long, even though it was only a week.
You were saying
so
it's
great.
Like the best kind of vacation where you go away for a week, but it feels like more.
Yeah, it was awesome. I went home
and you even got a couple locations.
I know. I've been all over. I went home. My mom. Today is my mom's last day of work ever. She retired.
Mrs. Garner.
It was her last day. Oh. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Nancy.
Mama G. She's done. My dad could not be more excited. We had a super fun party for her over the weekend when I was home. Everybody came and everybody cried and it was the best. And then we drank an entire case of champagne and partied till 2 a.m. on our back deck and it was awesome.
Doing it right.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome. And then I scooted over to the Great Burial Island, where you have some roots down there.
Yep.
And we biked over. I'll never go to Gabriel in a car.
So easy.
Again. It's so easy to bike. We biked the entire length around the island, which is like 27 kilometers or something.
It's like a 40-minute drive to go all the way around.
Yeah. So. It took a while.
Yeah.
It was a really long day. It was really hot. And at like maybe 3 a.m. that night, I think it was Sunday, at like 3 a.m, I woke up in just straight up pain, just like from pain from like my rib cage, just down to my toes, just a solid aching pain. Mm. So I felt like I really earned all the beer and all the wine and all the cider.
All the sitting around and all the sun. Yes.
Because we biked a lot.
Yeah.
In the sun. It was fun. We had a great time. Thank you so much, Gail.
Did you see the llamas?
We saw the llamas.
Yes. Good old llamas.
Yeah. We went to the galleries, the big weird...
big rock formation thing.
Galleries. We reminisce of when we went over for Abby's wedding. And when we went diving off of that big log.
So fun.
Yeah. That was so fun. So,
it's a lovely place. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And I know Gail is very happy you got to go over and
we had
enjoy
a
it.
Blast. I was showing everybody upstairs, I got a new pair of hippie shorts at the hippie market.
Nice.
Thanks, Glenn or Dave or whatever his name was.
Bob.
Very friendly, very smelly, but very nice.
There you go.
Sold me a pair of hippie shorts.
Out of the deal.
Yeah, I was pretty into it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
What have you been up to?
I also went on a trip. I went to America.
Fuck yeah.
Literally every time I cross the border, it's the first thing I say. As soon as you cross the little, like, whatever, like the mini obelisk or whatever it is that, like, tells you exactly where the border is.
For the homeless, Abby is waving her hands up and
very
down and straight up and down and around into a
not making any sense.
Not a not shape.
Being very helpful. but it was fun. My brother-in-law lives down there. And... of course, it's like, you know, around the 4th of July. It was a little bit before. And I know it's like this year round, but oh, lordy, you guys love American flags.
God, no
down
one
there.
Loves America as much as America.
No. Mind you, we're pretty hardcore with the fucking maple leaf all over our shit, too. So it's not like I don't pretend that we're all
different
up here, but
I don't
there
think...
was a flag that was like easily like 10 times the size of our car.
Oof.
So, like, we saw it from miles away, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger bigger and bigger. Somewhere around Marysville or Mount Vernon, which is about halfway.
But, like, I was going to say, we don't wear Canada flags year-round.
There might be it's like a Canada
one day out of the year that we'll wear.
Or, like, Olympics.
A pant. Yeah. But...
I think it might have something to do with our flag not being as aesthetically pleasing as the American flag.
True. The American flag's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It gets the job done.
You'd have to wear like a white pants with a red spotch. That's maybe not ideal.
You can wear like denim with the American flag.
Red, white, and blue, right?
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue, but still.
And red and white just says like that
but
together
not,
just doesn't look good. And it just screams Christmas. It has too many connotations.
But if you're wearing red and white and blue like an American flag... that it's sweatpants and a tank top. Let's be serious.
Yeah.
That's what you're wearing, or it's a denim cap with glitter on it.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying
like the American flag bikini that I used to sell at my old job.
Yes. Like, I bet you didn't sell as many Canadian flags.
No, we didn't.
I bet they didn't.
They
even
didn't
make
exist.
Any.
Yeah, no, they didn't exist at all.
No, and I did go to Target, and like I said, it was right before the 4th of July, so there was red, white, and blue everything.
That's a lot.
It was a lot to take in.
That's all for one weekend.
It's a lot. But it was great. We saw our family. It was lovely. The kids behaved on the drive, which was great. We ate.
Oh, you couldn't ask for more.
So much junk food. I got myself my Taco Bell. Tacos Locos, which is the Dorito ones that are fucking delicious.
Is it the shell that's made?
Like
that's a big
eight
Dorito.
Of them. Yes, I could eat like eight of them. The first time I sat down, I ordered two, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to need more of these.
So wait, the whole, like the taco shell is
a Dorito.
Dorito?
They have Cool Ranch ones and the nacho cheese ones.
Damn it.
And they just
cool
have
ranch
like...
Cool Ranch is a Canadian thing.
Well,
can you get them in America?
They have
them
a blue
in
one and a red one. I get the red one. I get the cheese one. That's the one I get.
Can you
I know
the
we
taco?
Have Taco Bells here, but they're like in the burbs, and I never, like, there's none in Vancouver.
You can't
proper.
Be out to go out there.
You can't be fucked. Go for a bridge?
No.
Go for a bridge for Taco Bell?
Go to a different country, for your Taco Bell.
Yeah, there you go. And then I also went to Sonic. I'd never been to Sonic before, which was super good.
A burger situation?
And milkshakes.
Oh, dang.
Their drinks, they literally have like 200 drinks on their menu.
That's too many.
I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I drink that. I'm like, Abby, your stomach only holds like a finite amount. Like you can't get every flavor of slushy delicious drink. And plus your kidneys would shut down.
Yeah, don't do that.
Your
Not
body
in
would
front
just
of the kids.
Give up and die. So that was fun. So a good old America.
Fast food.
It's the same
flags.
But different. Every time I cross the border, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But in an exciting way.
And also we love our American listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
please more of that. That's good too. We like that.
But just know for Canadians, it's weird.
It's weird. Fast food and flags. You guys have it dialed.
Yeah.
No one can compete with
and
you.
And booze and grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Cheap booze, even with the exchange rate.
Yeah.
The alcohol is still cheaper than here in Canada. So we maxed out our allowance.
Some things right, yes, for sure.
Went to Target and bought whiskey.
Nice. Summer's drink. Summer's beverage.
Some bralettes and some whiskey.
Good for you. That sounds like a vacation.
And we didn't bring the kids. We ditched them with my sister-in-law. And we went to Target, so that was fun.
Nice. Oh,
yeah. What about you, Evan? What do you got?
I've been having a bit of a summer.
I got a
tan update. I have a bit of a tan. The whatever melanin that wasn't squashed out by my French Canadian ancestry is activating.
Is making its
appearance. And I'm here for it. But I'm also peeling a little bit because I burned.
It happens.
There was some marijuana, there was some coconut oil, and about 9 hours at Rec Beach.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Coconut oil.
That's like a recipe.
It was a very windy day.
Right there.
Well, I did
so it makes you.
I did like 60 SPF, and then I did a small bit of coconut oil on top, but apparently one negates the other.
And if you don't reapply.
Yeah, right? And then I went waiting. I didn't
reapplies.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You forget.
I got a bit of a burn. So, like, parts, like, when I'm, like, clothed, I look very bronzed and wonderful.
Yes, looks great and put together.
My shoulder blades tell a whole other story.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I got all of my new freckles. The whole new constellations are coming out, which is nice.
Yeah.
But there's some areas that are not so good.
Someone tweeted the other day that their body just turned into one big freckle in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, it was really funny. But
they just all connect.
We have a friend who has tons of freckles, and then they get more freckly in the summer, and his nickname is Trout. I don't even remember what his real name is, but his nickname is Trout. It's one of the greatest nicknames I've ever heard.
Trout. Lovely.
Little fish.
Well, I'm happy you're getting outside.
Yeah. And then this past weekend, I went to Whistler for the first time with my brother and his boyfriend and a friend.
It's their first time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Wow.
And a friend of ours from home who came out for the weekend.
Oh, awesome.
And went paddleboarding.
We went all up in like nature and
lakes.
Shit.
Yeah. And then went to the village. And the village gave me a very unsettling feeling.
It's a very strange place.
It feels like there's other things going on beneath the surface. It feels Stepford-y.
Because it's very like touristy and cheesy and pretty. But then there's, you know, that's not the whole story.
Absolutely not. I was just
there's also a shitload of money there. So you know some shit's getting stirred underneath that top.
Yep. Yeah.
And I just want to, I'm sure I could figure this out on my own. But I'm like, who did they displace so that this place could
exist? Yeah.
This perfect place between all these mountain peaks.
Because it's been there for like... since the 60s.
Yeah.
The resort itself turned 50, I think, last year or the year before.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would be the Squamish people.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
It would be the Squamish.
I think it is. There's a new museum up there called the Audane Gallery.
Okay.
And it's a pretty prestigious gallery, and they have quite a few native artifacts and art pieces, and they work with lots of native artists. And then there's another gallery in Squamish called, I don't know, maybe it is in Whistler. But anyway, there's another like Squamish First Nations gallery. There's a few cool galleries up there, actually.
Interesting.
And I'm pretty sure it's a Squamish First Nation
area.
Yeah, it's the closest one. Well, that I know of, like you said, like displaced.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been a different, because like, there's
so many. Who knows?
Because Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and then Squamish, they're so close together, but they're different nations and different dialects.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, I was just like, I go to a place now, a new place, and I'm just like,
What was here before?
Yeah. It's always a good question to ask.
When you go on the Sea to Sky, when you're on your way to Squamish, all of the signs also have their native.
Yeah.
The native tongue on like the little green and white road signs that you see all over the country. But then there was nothing in Whistler. Like there was no indigenous
language.
I don't know. It was beautiful and we had a lovely dinner, but
makes you think.
It makes me think.
Yeah.
And what else?
It should always make you think every time you go to a resort like that.
Yeah. You, I, in I, North I, America, can't, I you can't escape it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, since really like 150, like you just can't.
Yeah, we were there.
Can't think not yeah. about that.
It was the day after Canada Day, and the way, like, it was me and my brother who were very outspoken about Indigenous rights and Indigenous activism, and our friend Jessica, who for her whole upbringing, like even since I started dancing, she is a Métis fiddle player, and then my brother's boyfriend, who's also very woke.
Sure.
And the waitress came up and she's like, "How was your Canada Day?" And I was just like,
"You're like,
honey,
bitch.
I'm going to be nice."
That's a loaded question.
Yeah. Because it is Sunday night, you have a full patio and you look tired. I'm going to be nice to you. But if this was a
I'll give you the answer you want to hear. Yeah.
And I was just like, I was working because I literally worked all day on Saturday.
Sure.
But yeah, so.
For our American listeners, we should maybe, I don't know how, if anyone even knows about Canada 150 in the States.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows how much of this has crossed the border. But Canada just, quote unquote, celebrated its 150th anniversary of being Canada. And it's...
Confederation. So it's similar to like the signing of the Declaration of Independence, yes. I suppose.
It's when the first Except provinces...
But it's not. It's completely different legislation and
different
legal
system
everything.
And, yeah.
And a different... conclusion, like the reason that
the
it
result
became
was different. Yeah.
Well, there was no battle, there was no fight, there was no getting out of this other land that you had.
You fight
this,
the British
yeah,
to fight, the beginning.
Yeah. So there wasn't the same kind of thing happening in Canada. Yeah. And in any case, I think for better, it's stirred the pot a lot on Indigenous, just even talking about Indigenous rights and like. Whose Canada is this? What does it even mean? So it's
what
it's
happened to the other,
14,000 years of history
before that, before 1867 and all all the people and things that happened to Canada before that. So
maybe this is a good sort of jumping in point.
Yes.
So we can invite our guest in. I'm sure you have a few things to say
about that.
Several things to say.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can talk about Evan, you're Métis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you know a little bit about Louis Riel.
Yes.
And it is now like coming on to prophecy right now. You know the prophecy, right?
I do know the prophecy.
Could you
elaborate this prophecy?
Yeah, let's hear it. I'm not familiar.
I think I talked about it on the episode where we discussed my last collection, but Louis Riel, he said that my people will sleep for 100 years.
Oh, yes.
And when they awaken, it will be the artists who give them their spirit back.
And guess what year it is, bitches?
It's 100 years later.
Hey! Knock, knock, knock!
Yeah.
We have been paying attention. We've been keeping meticulous receipts, and we will see you in court.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's kind of like... Even though I'm not Métis, but it's very prominent. It's also in other prophecies as well about this like story about this the world being covered by a web is another prophecy from Slipptooth. So it's like the web, but the World Wide Web, and this black snake. So that was also into prophecy. So a lot of things are coinciding right now, and it's a really exciting time for Indigenous peoples right now.
That's cool. I've never heard
that one
particular.
Either.
Yeah, you should get Ruben on your show at one point. You should get Ruben George.
Okay.
Yeah, grandfather was Chief Dan George.
Oh wow!
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That name I know.
Be an honor.
I was gonna say that's a name I've heard.
We got to clean this place up a little. I got to wash my hair and put deodorant on. I think
you better put my good deodorant on for this one.
Got to paint on my brow.
Yeah. And like, I can't really think about, like, it wasn't for the Indigenous Fashion Week. It wasn't planned to be this year. It just, everything
it just
started
kind of,
aligned. And yeah. I'm just like, is it the prophecy? Right. So.
Well, I just literally got goosebumps.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm just really excited about this year and for the future. And like my goal is to, let's make Vancouver more Indigenous, like in terms of like, yeah, I love fashion. I was a model for, I guess it's been 17 years. I've been trying to retire and no one will let me. But like trying to like make our signs in First Nations, like the Hukmalim or like the Three Nations here, their languages, just to have a more of an Indigenous visible presence in Vancouver is kind of the goal.
Let's say what they are, because we have a lot of Vancouver listeners, but anyone who lives in Canada or in the States should
in the
go
world.
In the world.
Yeah.
But
there's sure. There are indigenous communities all over the world
everywhere.
Who are facing the same issues yeah. as us.
Totally. So let's start that trend and we'll just name
just
the ones.
Say their names.
Yeah, let's say their names and then you guys go look up the ones that you.
In your neighborhood
and say them out loud and maybe.
And talk about them.
Put a sign up and say, hey, what about these guys?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you do the honors?
I guess so. Musqueam, Slabtooth, and Squamish and the Stolo Nation. Actually, Kitsilano used to be also a nation as well, but wiped out.
It's a very fancy neighborhood here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Kitsilano. And it's no coincidence that it's a very affluent neighborhood in this city either.
It's a real nice part of town.
Yeah.
It's interesting too, like looking around, on the way back from the ferry, there was a guy doing like a local history spiel or whatever about local, you know, names of things and plants and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things he was talking about was like the names of the, like the islands and like Spanish banks and English Bay and all of this stuff. And it was like, this is the British guy who came in. This was the Spanish guy and the Juan de Fuca Strait and all this stuff. And so I kind of wanted to like shout from the back. I was a little hungover. And I was like, and it was a kid's thing. And so I was like, I didn't want to like stir it.
What are the real names?
Like, what were those names before they were those names? Like, let's think about that.
Like,
you should know that for sure. Like, at least Haida Gwaii got changed when 10 years ago, maybe now, from Queen Charlotte's.
Yeah.
More of that. That should more be happening. Yeah.
It took Montreal 20 years to change the way that like their town looked. I think we can do that here in Vancouver. And I think the fact that everything looks the same in Canada, it wouldn't be a bad change, right?
No. I mean, even if you look at things like Kitsilano, I wonder how many people who live in Kitsilano know that that's native name.
Yeah.
Like Okanagan, I wonder if people know if that is a native name. Look at what your map looks like and look at the words that look English or Spanish or French and see what percentage of those there are versus the ones that look way different. Because you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Yeah, or like weird anglicized bastardizations of the native
like
words.
The name of our country.
Yes.
Yes. Good
which
example.
Is a bastardization of the Iroquois word for village.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Word. Yeah. But I guess, like, you guys are all going around the table saying what you guys did this week. So, could I do that?
Yeah.
So, we just finished up Kanata, which was a festival here at Laurel Park. And we had, like, a mini fashion show, did another podcast for the first time. I'm suffering from back issue. I had my S1L5. My brother came in town, and he is crazy, but he's super crazy talented, too. Like, he's a really great artist, and he's really, really, really good with music. So, and then tomorrow we're shooting a commercial for Indigenous Fashion Week.
Ooh. Oh, great.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting times.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music does your brother play?
He plays everything. He's like a musical genius.
He's one of those. Like,
but he's like the most fucked up person. So it's like crazy artist. Like, he has it. He just doesn't like have the, I guess, like the business sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or anything like that, right?
Doesn't know how to harness.
That
no
happens.
Harness.
Yeah. That happens a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. All the greats, like, yeah.
Yeah. We go hand in hand.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fun. That's always a fun time to have family who can stir the pot.
I'm just like trying to keep him out of jail. Like, it's just, I know, like, it's not even a joke. It's like a real thing. And like, keep him here in Vancouver because there's such a like a more of an art scene here than in Alberta. So he's from Edmonton. So,
oh, no way.
Yeah. So he did all his tattoos himself in like jail and stuff. So my family's really interesting.
So we invited you on because we wanted to hear more about Indigenous Fashion Week. So I'm quite curious. You said upstairs that it's been years in the making coming together. So I want to know, I'm curious about how you started it and what, if there was another partnership or was there like an underground movement that's been bubbling for a long time, or was it like, this is what we're doing? Like, how did it all kind of come about?
Well, I guess like the inkling wasn't there at first, because I honestly don't particularly like the fashion industry. I'm one of the fashion hags.
Hey, man, that's partly why we started. No,
we talk about the things we love and the things we hate.
And the things that are bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We love to love it and love to hate fashion. That's kind of the whole thing that we started. Yeah. Like, why it's do we manifesto. Love this industry? It's yeah. so stupid. Fucked it's up. The stupidest.
Okay.
So you are in good hands.
I'm in good hands. Okay.
The analogy I like to use is the really cute guy who treats you badly, but you don't want to give up on him.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what the fashion industry
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because totally you can change him.
Yeah.
Eventually you can change him.
And he calls you pretty every now and then and buys you something nice.
Good. Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the end of the day, he's kind of a shit bag.
Yeah. And shallow and fickle.
Yeah. Shallow, fickle,
big ego.
Low attention span. Yeah.
You just described fashion.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, I started modeling back in 1999, just before 2000s, before Tyra Banks fucking just ruined the industry. And like being a model was like a huge deal, and not everyone, their dog wanted to be a model. So, and I was subjected to a lot of crazy things and seen a lot of crazy things. And at the time, I didn't really respect the industry. Because
understandably,
well, it's also like being a child, right?
Sure. Younger, right?
So I was like 15, like running around, like trying to suck in my tummy and look sexy for the camera. So it wasn't like, and yeah. I was also very tomboyish as well. So I'm pretty masculine, not in the sense of like the way I look, but like in the way I am.
Yeah.
So I play a lot of ball. I was having some crazy, I think it was 2007, started having crazy sweats at night. I've been away since. Back and forth since 1999 and like kind of like trying to figure out who the fuck I am. Because being an indigenous person in different countries when no one looks like you and like all my friends were mainly locals. I didn't have a whole lot of friends who were models because I couldn't stand them.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. But at the same time, like I was still, you as a model, you're kind of being told that you should look like this or you're like that blank
right.
canvas for people. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, you kind of figure out, like, you start having an identity crisis. So I just, like, left on a red eye from Thailand. I left my hotel, and then I tried my hand being, like, a waitress for, like, 2 minutes. And then I quit that, and then I started working with the First Nations community.
Awesome. Right?
So as a frontline worker.
In Vancouver.
In Vancouver. Cool. Yeah. I, like... Really, like, from going from, like on a beach on Thailand to, like, changing, like, diapers and stuff like that. And it was such, like, I felt so much more at ease with that job than I did the job that I'm actually a professional at. Because it's the only thing I've been doing for the last, like, how many years, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but the job was really taxing because I was, like, on suicide watch for certain moms, and I used to take care of kids. Like, there was this one family who had, like, 7, 8 kids, and she was anemic, and she was suicidal, and all her kids had lice. And, like, so like, these are the dealings I was dealing with.
Yeah.
And I felt more comfortable in that than in...
In the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Take note. Modeling industry,
yeah,
fashion industry, Jesus,
yeah. So it just seemed more real,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so
you connected with it more,
more fulfilling,
totally more fulfilling, and like, and we didn't really grow up with our culture because my mom grew up in foster care, and my grandmother ran away from her reserve because of some white man threw her in the snow and she lost her fingers and her legs.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
So she was kind of like, didn't want us to know our culture because of what happened to her.
Sure.
So she tried to help us by not teaching us what we were supposed to know.
I have heard that again that same again again. Sort of story again and again and again. I met a couple of women a number of years ago at a show for my last job, and they were saying that they didn't know that they were First Nation until they were in their late 30s, early 40s, when their dad finally admitted to it, because throughout his childhood,
he had just,
as a Native kid, he was bullied and tormented, and I mean, you name it, I'm sure you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, fuck that, I would my not kids put my kids through that. So he just, he looked like he could passable.
Pass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck that, we're all white. Forget it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then so then later, like once things started to get a little bit better and he could sort of start healing, he told his kids that. And then they, of course, were like, oh, my God, like this whole history exists for us that we and then wanted to dive right in, of course.
Of course.
And learn all about it. So it was just like this, like as a couple of fucking white ladies, you and I, like, how can you, I mean, can you, I can't even imagine. So And that's not an uncommon story, I think, which is fucking wild.
Yeah. And you think about, like, if you're a first generation or second generation, you probably humped a native person at some point. So there's a lot of halfies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I owe my existence to the French settlers of this country.
Humping.
Damn.
Humping or the other. Yeah. The one that's not so nice. That probably happened a lot, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a constant inner battle of me being my colonizer and also being the colonized, which is something that I'm trying to struggle with internally.
Position,
That's a unique. That's a really unique position of your nation,
of my nation,
of your culture,
And I think it's something that the Métis Nation as a whole needs to kind of confront in their own way, because more often than not, Métis people can pass through Canadian or world society as a white person, and you're not faced with the same initial prejudice based on what you look like, as
or what your name sounds like, or whatever. Yeah,
people can read my name on my resume and not assume it a damn thing because my name is very French Canadian.
Yeah,
or my first name is very English and my last name is very French. So it's not like I have a traditional name in the least.
Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, it's not like it came more out of a place of love. The whole Métis Nation was the coming together of two groups of people.
Exactly, yeah.
In a harmonious way, which is why they had to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's a really fascinating little nugget of colonial history that survived, in a really strange way.
I feel like it needs to be studied more in like an anthropological sense, just to it's so unique compared to other places in the world where this distinct nation branched off from colonialism. I don't know if there's any other nation in the world that has that similar kind of history. Maybe they do. If you do, listener, hit me up because I want nothing but knowledge. Give me the knowledge.
I'm curious what your nation is.
I'm Cree and Blackfoot, Denza, Squash, and French as well. So I do have a little bit of colonizer in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, through my whole life, everyone thought I was half Asian, right? Did you meet my mom that night? Oh, no, you didn't.
No, I know. I met your dad, though.
My dad and my mom are dark. Like, they're dark. Mm-hmm. And then the thing is, my grandfather on my mother's side, I'm really pale, and that's where I get my pale skin, and I get that white passing privilege as a First Nations person, which has really helped me, obviously, because someone saw me in the crowd at the Peony and asked to take my photo, and that's when I started modeling, right? So I was definitely like a marketable product for Asia, and I flew to Asia, to Taiwan in 1999, and that's kind of how the...
Wow.
Thank you, colonizer, I guess.
What a weird, it's such a weird
strange
position.
Journey.
But you know, all of these interconnecting threads have led you to giving this amazing platform to Indigenous artists and models and creatives. So.
And professionals. Yeah, and amateurs and everything. Yeah.
It wasn't for naught.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's interesting too, like the modeling industry on one hand is super fucked up without question. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that. Yeah. And there's a ton of racial, tension, but it's all like, well, she's too dark and she's not dark enough and she's too white, but we want a white person. It'll appeal to this audience and going to the Asian market and all this sort of
fucking
weird
Kardashian on Vogue India's like celebrity tour, like some like important issue and they put a fucking white girl on the cover. Like,
but on the other hand, they are finding people of different cultures that are unique and that do stand out in different ways, and hopefully more now than ever. Hopefully,
we can get out of that tokenism of it, right?
Yes.
And just having like, ooh, white looks a black girl.
Yes.
Oh my god, we're so progressive.
Yes,
and just like have a beautiful woman, or a person, or whatever.
There's this thing of like there'll be the it mo the dark skinned it girl, like the Alec Weck.
Yeah.
Who gets
the Sudanese girl who had their moments
in every single fashion show for 5 years, and she's like worked to death, because that she's the only model that they want.
Well, she's part of that trend,
the it girl,
which is so gross. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's weird. It's such a weird. We've talked a little bit about modeling before, and it's like It's a fucking bizarre.
Yeah, that's a there's world. A whole lot to unwrap there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure we could have you back and talk just about modeling, and it would be a whirlwind tour, I'm sure. Yeah. But so I'm curious now too. When you got back from Thailand, like, what was it about the fashion industry, having not really been in love with it, that wanted you to get into it in this way?
Yeah, I think, well, because, like, honestly, doing frontline work is really taxing. And adults are kind of set in their ways, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I would go into a home and, like, do them my best to, like, try to guide them in the right... I'm also... young looking as well, right? So I'm coming to the home as a young person saying, these are your resources, this is how you take care of a baby, all that kind of stuff, right? So when you would see the families not getting to where they should be going or get where they want to be going, it's really disheartening. So I was just thinking about different ways how I can still help my community, but not being at the front line, because it's just heartbreaking to see the families just fall through the cracks. So I started working with this group called the Urban Butterflies, and it's ages 8 to 14, and they're all mostly in foster care. And that's kind of, I'm like, okay, kids, they get it. They're moldable. You get them before.
They're still interested in learning things.
Yeah. You get them before, like, they take that jump into adulthood or whatever. And, like, I can work with that, right? Like, and I, like, that is kind of where my heart started. And then those kids ended up aging out, right? So, and I've never told anyone I was a model, because I didn't want to make anyone feel weird, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I'm going to the home of these homes where these families are barely getting their rent paid. And, like, oh, yeah, I was a model. And I hung out with,
I just flew back from Thailand.
Like, I just parted with, like, Jamie Foxx and whatever, right? Like, I just didn't want to have that kind of, like, I didn't want to have that with them, right? Mm-hmm. So, so I just started, like, asking the kids if they would want to model, and they loved it. Like, they were twerking on tables too, mind you, but, like, they loved, like, idea of, like, showing off. That's as kids do. They love,
yeah,
like,
they want, love, like, it. They love it. They love it.
Channel this in a productive way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we just try to incorporate indigenous design, because we started making regalia for them. And then just how proud they were walking in their clothes. I was just like, well, why did I start? Like,
let's do something with this.
Let's do something cool. with this.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So it wasn't super planned out. Like, I honestly wanted a magazine first to showcase our, like, all our beautiful indigenous cultures across, like, Canada. But I'm just like, I don't know how to do that fucking shit. That's crazy. like, I think an indigenous fashion week, even though it was a lot of work, it's more... like doing, like, it's more like physically doing something, where, like, you're reading something and you can put it away or whatever. But I think just it's kind of,
if it's right in front of you, it's not,
it's
as
exciting
easy
and tangible.
So that's kind of how it became. And then I started, like, getting involved with First Nation designers like Denise Brillion. Like, I've modeled for Dorothy Grant, and, like, I sniffed out Evan way before I knew Evan, and, like, just, like, trying to get involved with the community and helping in any way I can, because I had, like, this knowledge of, like, this industry that a lot of our community hasn't seen before, not the high level I've seen and been a part of, right? So it's like, oh yeah, like, I just wanted to share what I knew with my community.
Right, so you can provide sort of a different perspective, and also probably, I would think, like, a safe entry point for people who might be skeptical or, like,
totally
distrust the fashion industry. For why? Why would
but
you
still
want
be interested?
To? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, we had some girls who are in our program, and who have, like, I've taken care of, and then they've grown up, and then they're like, oh, we want a model. Oh, we don't want a model because we don't want to seem, like, shallow or whatever. Yeah. I'm just like, do you see me being shallow? Like, I'm not shallow, and I'm pretty, like, I care about pretty much everything.
Bunch for of some stuff.
Reason. Yeah, I'm a worry wart, whatever. So do you think that's me? Like, so it's like, you can kind of make it into whatever you want. And so I keep on trying to tell them. Like, for me, leaving, like, the downtown east side where I was staying, I used to live across the street with my grandmother at Pigeon Park. Like, even though modeling was probably the hardest job and will always be the hardest job I ever had, it going away definitely saved probably... save me for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different opportunity, is for sure, that wouldn't otherwise necessarily have been available to you.
And that's what I want my girls to see.
And then you got to come back and have a different perspective and motivation, mm-hmm. and, you know, and find your place, like you said. And
yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a coming home of, like, everything. And then also bringing everything I've learned into, like, a safe area. It's holding holding a safe space for Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people too to learn is kind of like what I've been thrust into with not knowing what I was going to do, right?
Right.
So it was just kind of, it just kind of came upon, which is like the nice thing, right? It's not like I went to school for any of this shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it just kind of came like naturally, which is like the best, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I think you can come at it with, from an attitude or a perspective that it's just so much more meaningful.
It's more genuine and you're more passionate or I don't know.
And then I seem to find the people who connect with that too.
Yeah,
and those kinds
that's contagious. It's really, or like attracting.
It's really easy. It's really easy to weed out the bullshit when you have.
If that's your through line.
Yeah, if that's your through line. If you have that vision in mind. Yeah.
Where you're starting from.
Because we know this industry is rife with racism, rife with misogyny.
And pretenders and assholes.
Yeah, and people who will.
Narcissists.
Kiss your ass and stab you in the back simultaneously.
Oh, totally.
So. You know, like real recognized real, and I'm really excited to be surrounded by all of these Indigenous artists. It's going to be so
very
much fun.
Cool. It's going to be so crazy. And Evan showing on the 28th, and it's the red dress event. So make sure if you're coming to Vancouver Indigenous Fashion Week, please wear your red dress.
Okay.
Why I don't have a red dress?
You don't have a red dress.
What? I had to do a purge. I had to get rid of a bunch of things.
I have a shitty red sweatshirt.
Just do a red look.
That's the only red I have.
You can do a red look. Yeah.
You got a couple. You got some time to figure it out before the show.
We should probably explain the meaning of the red dress.
Yes.
Yes.
Would you like to?
Yeah. The red dress event is one to bring awareness for missing Indigenous murdered women in BC, the Highway of Tears. So I have a couple. I have not been directly affected, I don't think. Like, mind you, I don't know my whole family, right? But, like, my mom partied on Picton Farm as a child, right?
Jesus.
So it's kind of you know what I mean? Oof. So it is close to home, even though no one I know in my family has been taken. But I have friends whose aunties and sisters have been taken. So, So that's trying to spread some light on that. So.
There was a display or a protest. I guess that would be the word,
installation.
2 years ago, or maybe last year, I forget where it was. It was set up because all I can remember.
I think
is just
it was in front
the red
of
dresses.
Pacific Central Station.
Yeah, maybe
there was one there,
but it was just these hangers of red dresses, and I couldn't
keep it together.
Yeah. It was so powerful.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's choking me up now. I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Katie, I have not cried on this podcast, and I don't plan on doing it
now. If you would like to know more about this,
there's websites.
School yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I loved the idea that it was a dress. Like, this was maybe the fashion lover in me, connected with that. Because this is, the thing I like a lot about clothes is it's a person. Like, it's how you share your identity and yourself with people without speaking. Mm-hmm. So the red dress was like, I mean, the color is so significant. The shape of a body that you see when you have a hanger, it's just like, oh, the feels, man. Just right in there. I thought it was a really, really poignant, very powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So look it up. If you don't know what we're talking about, go and check it out and give yourself like maybe a half an hour to get yourself together after you stop crying because it is such a sad history. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking. And but it's so great that this kind of an event
can be used
to sort of open up that dialogue a little bit more and like hopefully rattle a couple of bones in fucking parliament and wherever the legislature and get some shit happening.
Get some movement, yeah.
Well, I think like the liberals heard about it because they're trying to come and it's like,
ooh. Oh, yeah, the politicians are sniffing around.
Well, you know what? Maybe we need to allow them and there needs to be some very pointed speeches, very eloquent and pointed speeches, not from them, but from the Indigenous community.
Yeah,
Carol Ann Bennett was just like, did you see that thing?
Oh, honey, yes.
It was pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
I missed it. I was away. What happened?
She went to a protest, I believe, and there was a number of Indigenous activists who spoke very pointedly to her and showed a lot of emotion and a lot of vulnerability in front of all those cameras and just called her out on her shit, Like, why is the RCMP not being investigated in their hand in the murder and missing Indigenous women?
Oh, shit. Why? She went there.
Oh, yes. For her. Oh, yes. These are the things that we need to hold people accountable for.
Need to be said. Need to be heard.
We can't be hiding behind bureaucracy and all of these things when...
When still happening.
When
yeah,
when
still happening.
There's like a disproportionate amount of people being targeted compared to the general public.
Like, and for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For... decades, if not longer.
Yes.
Oh shit! I gotta look that up when I get home.
Yeah, it's they're just recently. There's been so many instances of Indigenous people speaking up, and
there was another ways. I forget the lady's name.
I can't remember her name.
She was like chastising a white reporter. She's like, "You white lady, you be quiet."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Don't talk to me like that.
And then whatever she
says, disrespectful. And the white lady's like trying to backtrack, and the white guy speaks up, and she's like, "No, I'm none of it."
I love it. Let's get some emotions firing.
All of the
make some white people uncomfortable. Yes, about all time. Yeah.
It's just so amazing because now within this new age of social media, I can even see my own grandmother being more active.
Sure.
And being more aware of these issues.
Come on, Mamere.
She sends me videos. She catches on to the things that are happening before I even see it. And like, I'm on my phone all the time. So. Like, she's just like, did you see this? This is happening. She just sent me, like, a bunch of videos of a protest that was happening outside of Winnipeg where a nation was blocking the highway to protest their boil water advisory.
Oh, good.
Ugh.
Yeah.
As if that's insane.
I mean, if we're going to get into all the issues, we'll be here.
I know. We'll be here all night.
We need a whole other podcast to get, like, a whole other arena to get into that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To maybe get back a little, one last question before we wrap it up, because I think we're getting into it. There has been some debate about Indigenous aesthetic entering into the fashion industry and like this colonial framework. And I've been having a lot of discussion.
Like the systems themselves,
the systems of fashion being very colonial, and how are we going to enter this arena as Indigenous peoples and work within this very colonial structure? It's similar, I guess you can say, to Indigenous groups trying to work within the Canadian government to get their things done. How are we as Indigenous people going to work within the fashion industry in that construct and make waves in it without...
And make your own way.
Without... Yeah. Taking steps back. I just want to get your
or compromise or whatever. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've always been like a thing of like really believing that slow fashion is high fashion, right? Like I think we can all go to H&M and buy like a $20 shirt or whatever. I don't think there's a whole, like, I think most things have would sound like Indian Pocahontas a lot, but everything like has like energy attached to it, right? So if you're making like a button blanket or a Métis sash, or you're making something, you're putting your energy into it. And I think everyone can probably benefit through slowing it down a bit. And I know like the fashion industry is not about that, and they're about mass production and having a huge carbon imprint on the planet.
Mm-hmm. And taking.
And taking and taking and taking. But I think people are starting to like wake up. They want to know where their food's coming from.
Yeah.
They want to know.
It's like, always interesting to compare the fashion industry to the food industry and how
things are changing.
You know, woke people are about food, but they'll still go buy a fucking $9 shirt from H&M. Like, you know, do the math. You got to fucking think backwards a little bit more on that one, I think.
Yeah. I just think like people are just becoming more aware, and they want to buy like that thing that is special to them and that is made slower. Personally, I haven't bought anything for like a few years. I either get it from like either donated Sally Ann, or I buy it from an Indigenous person on the powwow trail. Like that's like, that's what I've done in the last little while.
Sure.
Right. So, do I think there's a place for Indigenous people in Indigenous fashion in a like a higher like factory kind of setting? Yeah, but I don't know if that's gonna help the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right? So not that I want us to go backwards, but I just want us to slow down and take it in, maybe. That's what I don't know if that's like what the world wants, because go, 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 individualism, industry, industry, industry.
New, different, more money.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't know how many, like, yeah. I just think slower is better, and having energy and being aware of things and having a lot of attention like intention on what you're doing will kind of make you a happier person in general, right?
Yeah.
So I think you can, like, the fashionable can benefit from going a little bit slower.
I think slow down, take it in is good advice for basically everyone.
Yeah, I know. It's like a lifestyle choice. Like, I don't know.
And it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard. It's easy to say, yeah, slow down, take it in. But like when you ask people, how are you doing?
I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Like I'm not that busy.
I hate being busy. You know, like, that's the worst.
You know, and yes, yeah, I think that's a good, especially for the fashion industry.
Oh, yeah.
Slow down.
Yeah, and like,
chill.
Write it in.
Chill it out.
And like all the elders that I've learned with, because I'm like, honestly, I came from that background of like, okay, go. Mm-hmm. Let's go to this go-see. Let's like get this money. Let's like.
Next job.
I'm going to like fucking buy me a house and shit, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to have a bunch of kids. Like, I think hanging out with elders has really taught me that. And it's taken time. It's not like I ended up like this. I had to like really like check my ego and then check like how fast I was going. And even now, I still have a hard time with it because like now I have back problems. I have health problems. And it's because I'm moving too fast, right? So it's just my body telling me to slow down. And it's also like the world should be slowing down because we're going to like blow it up anyway, you guys. So you're going to like break your back, world. So just calm the fuck down.
Well, it was interesting too. You were talking before about, I forget what it was specifically we were talking about, but it was taking a while. And you said Indian time, it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, as a white girl who's worked with Native people before, like, it is a real thing. It's a thing. And I think the slow down, take it easy is a real mindset that First Nations cultures have kind of across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking whiteies like us.
It's a very...
Who can't adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
And should probably
and
take
you go to
a
different
page
parts
out
of
your
the
butt,
world,
right?
And it's always the white people that are going crazy.
Always
trying to get shit done and add more things and more hours in the day and, you know. And
yeah, definitely.
Siesta. Come on, guys.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Come on, white people. Get your shit
so
together.
We just need to decolonize the fashion industry to make our place.
Yeah, I think so. And like Santa Fe has done that. Mm-hmm. Like I'll talk about Indian market. Santa Fe is not like a mass producing machine. They make things that are handmade, slow, beautiful. People go there to go buy art. So why not bring that same magic that we have here? Because there's tons of amazing artists here that don't work on a schedule that 9 to 5.
Yeah.
All the
quotas to fill.
Like Bill Reed and Bo Dick and Robert Davidson and Reg Davidson. Like all these guys don't answer their emails, right? They don't care, right? So, but they are the best. Yeah. Right, so I just think there's something to that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Real art, like the great artists have, like
it takes time.
Takes time, yeah.
Yeah.
So no rushy, rushy.
And it'll happen when it's right.
Yeah, and
just
I think
like Indigenous Fashion Week.
Yeah,
it's happening, and like you said, everybody, all the right people have come together, and you were ready for it, and you've met these awesome artists and stuff, and it's all converging at this awesome. This awesome moment.
Yeah. Plus, Louis Riel fucking called it 100
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, there you go. So don't say nobody told you. So,
okay, let's real quick. We're going to take a quick break, but let's. The dates of Indigenous Fashion Week are July
26th to 29th at the QE Theater, but the first day is at the Laurel Park, which is right beside it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the website is
ifwvancouver.com.
Awesome. Everybody go do that.
Check it out.
Check your local history. Check your ticket stuff and go get your red dress and we'll see you at Evan's show.
Yeah. Yes.
We're back.
We're bullshitting and we took a very long break and had a very wonderful conversation.
But like that's it. We can go from something very intense to talking about bullshit. Like that's the fashion.
Human homes are complex.
On a dime.
On a yeah.
Turn on a dime.
And we're gonna do it right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Starting right now.
Right now.
Abby, you obsessed.
My obsession. I went to Trader Joe's when I was down in America.
Oh dang.
I reached out to some American people and said, "What do I need to get at Trader Joe's?" And they gave me a long list of things. I got like 8 types of cookies. Pretty outstanding.
Like it's like the Trader Joe brand.
Yes. Like what Trader Joe brand specific things do I need to get that are like non-perishable. Like I could get the frozen stuff and they have great cheeses, but I can't bring my cheese. And like, it was so hot in the car on the drive home. It was like 30 degrees, like 100 degrees.
Like, kids, eat that cheese before we get to the border.
A hot cookie? Delicious. Yeah,
there you go. But so I got a bunch of cookies, which were fantastic. But I got this seasoning, everything but the bagel. You know, like an everything bagel, right?
Yeah.
So like onion and garlic and sesame seeds.
Oh, I get it.
And
stuff.
And it's just like in a little spice shaker and you put it on. So and
it's everything bagel without the bagel.
And I put it on fucking avocado toast.
Yum. Because
I'm trying to cling on to that millennial that I'm on the cusp of.
Yeah. But how are you going to afford to pay your mortgage, Abby, if you have all the avocado toast?
I know. I buy my avocados in bulk at Costco. That's how I do it.
That's how. Yeah. When you were on Gabriella, just a little side note, when you were on Gabriella, we were talking to some lady at one of the many farmers markets that were happening.
Yes.
And we were talking about, you know, island life and farmers markets and being an artist and slowing down or whatever, like what we were talking about earlier. And she's like, yeah, you know, just sell your house in Vancouver and move to Gabriella. We're like, oh, okay. I'll just sell my fucking house. Oh, do you have a house in Vancouver to sell? Because I sure as hell don't. Like, this just nice old lady just, like, trying to, like, connect and, like, we love it here.
Well, she did that in the 60s. And it worked out great for her.
It worked out great for her. We're like, cool.
It's like, are you this disconnected from the world that you don't?
Yeah.
Literally?
Oh, honey, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
no, like, no internet.
That's why
people don't have them. But they just don't have
them. They're very selective about what they look at,
absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's why you move to one of those islands.
Yes. To be disconnected from the world.
To be disconnected. Just exactly. Live your life and make driftwood art.
Put googly eyes on stuff if you want.
Go paint for it.
Paint a driftwood. Paint beaded.
Yes, pendants
and stuff. Yeah. If you need some vagina art, go to the Gulf Islands. They will hit you up.
Gabriella specifically. There's a lot of Subarus on Gabriella, if you know what I mean.
A lot of Birkenstocks being delivered from Amazon.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Not to generalize, but there's lots of lesbians on Gabriella.
That's what we're getting at. I've had a lot of...
lots of natural deodorant. That's all we're saying.
So this damn everything but the bagel.
Yes.
My obsession. I've had avocado toast quite a few times in the past few days.
I love it. It's a great thing to make in the heat.
I'm trying.
And it's also like, quote, healthy, even though I'm putting like so much salt and butter on my toast. But it's like a whole grain toast and then an avocado, which is like totally healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like super healthy.
It all balances out.
It's totally healthy, right? Yeah. Mm, that's a good obsession. Those in the cookie butter cookies. They're butter cookies with cookie butter in the middle. Oh, God, they're good.
Oof.
There is not enough cookies in that box. Why did I only get one box? What was wrong with
you? Yeah, why didn't you bring them down to us to have here?
Dang it.
Because
I'm selfish and they're all for me. And they're all gone.
I guess it has been a few days since you got back. Fair enough.
Oh, boy.
And then what are you obsessed with?
I am obsessed with this clip of a video from this drag queen named Jasmine Masters of RuPaul's Drag Race fame. She is sitting in a parking lot, pre or post gig. She does this all the time. She'll just do like a little update.
After her performance?
After or before her performance, okay. Anything that pops in her head. And usually it starts with, my name is Jasmine Masters and I have something to say. And she'll go off. She's gone off about how to properly douche before you have anal sex. She's gone off about cleaning the sweat beneath your boobs. She's like, usually when a girl motorboats me during my performance, it's a little bit stanky. It's like about wearing proper deodorant when you're in the club, because when you're putting your arms up, you smell stanky. Nobody wants to go home with somebody who's stanky. She talks about all the important issues that happen in a club or in life.
Writing all the important notes for
all
sure.
All important. But it's just been giving me so much happiness and joy and wonderment. But there's this one clip in particular, and I'm going to play a bit of it now. And if it sounds horrible, Dave, then I'll just send you the clip and maybe you can superimpose it in.
Insert it in later.
But it's just...
wait. Ready to talk some shit, smoke some weed, eat some food, make some coins, and love all my friends.
That's a pretty sweet.
This was her My Summer Plans.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
That sounds a lot like Slow Down, Take It Slow. That sounds like a good
nice.
Yeah.
Love all my friends.
Talk some shit, smoke some weed, eat some food, make some coins, and love all my friends. So pure, so wonderful.
There's a lot right happening there.
Is that an Instagram?
She does it on Instagram, and she has a YouTube channel just called Jasmine. It's Jasmine Masters. And
excellent.
She's just this amazing like pageant queen from the South, and takes no prisoners, like doesn't beautiful. Give a shit. Great. She's just amazing. She was on season 7 of Drag Race. So if you're interested in more Jasmine Masters, you can check that out.
I like it.
But yeah.
Beautiful.
Giving me life. There's this new phrase, another thing that I'm obsessed with. She has this phrase called getting your jush. So it's like getting your life. And you can also refer to people as jush. So like instead of like, hey girl, you'd be like, hey jush, like what's up? Like, or and then someone can add, or she, it's like you can replace anything you're doing with jush. You're just like, I'm just getting my jush and like going to Taco Bell, get my jush. Come and get your jush tonight at so-and-so club in the West Village or whatever. She's like, this song is giving me my jush. And it's just like this really positive term that yes. you can like insert.
I like the flexibility.
Yeah.
I like the adaptability of this word.
It's wonderful.
I like the message.
And the gay vernacular and the drag vernacular really needed some
positivity.
It needed some
something uplifting.
And it also needed something new because
yes.
it's slay and all that shit has just been overused and overplayed. Just like the lexicon of gay words just needed a bit of spice,
a jumbling
up, jumbling, some refresh, something new,
a reload,
exactly
that old reload browser button,
yeah, a little refresh.
That's a new shit.
Yeah.
I like it. me next.
Yes, go.
Well, I had to drive home a very long drive from Jasper back to Vancouver the other day. And so I asked my brother-in-law, for lack of a better word, they're not married, but they...
For all intents and purposes. Yeah.
Darren, who's a really smart dude, I was like, give me a good podcast. I got like 8 hours to drive.
By myself.
Give me a good one. Because I know I have a few that I have banked.
Yeah.
But try me something new. And so he recommended Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, I keep seeing it advertised on like the iTunes page.
It's real, real good.
Yeah?
It's really good. They're
it's coming up on my Explore page on my podcast app.
Yeah, they're like 35, 40 minutes or so-ish. And it's all about sort of taking a look at what wasn't told in that story and like taking a sort of a different aspect on a story that might be sort of familiar or that like something you see all the time, but you don't really know what the whole deal is. Mm-hmm. Like there's one example he talks about the private golf courses in Los Angeles and how much space they occupy and how ridiculous it is as a sport and how the green space outside of Griffith Park in LA, the green spaces in Los Angeles are cemeteries or private golf courses. That's basically it. And wow. Like, why? What's the deal? What's the taxes situation? How do they all come to be like this? And who's getting the money? And it's really interesting. And he, again, is a bit of a pot stirrer, but they're really well-told stories. They're only about half hour, 40 minutes or so. And I burned through 6 or 7 episodes on the drive. They're really, really good. So I would definitely recommend that. And it's pretty new, I think. It only came out, I guess the first episode was last year, 2016. And there's a new one that just came out June 21st. So check it out. Really good.
Nice.
Makes you feel real smart, too. It's like a real smart guy.
Love.
So you can like talk to your friends about this really smart thing I heard about this guy from this really smart guy and this really smart podcast.
And then that means I am also smart.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And it doesn't sound like super hoity-toity and like, I'm a professional intellectual. It's like accessible. And it's Malcolm Gladwell who actually does them all as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really
very
good.
Interesting, man.
So highly recommend.
I'm downloading one right now.
The golf one's really good.
The Road to Damascus is the one I really liked.
Oh, I haven't listened to that one.
Interesting.
Anyway, we'll get there.
Anyway, maybe I'll talk about our next episode.
I started from the beginning. I didn't start from the end and go backwards to the beginning. I start from the beginning and go forwards, usually with podcasts.
Mm.
Anyway, Revisionist History. Good one.
Marvelous.
Do and what you about have you?
You got something, Julie?
Well, besides Netflix at the moment, because I can't really watch too much.
Your plate's a little full right now.
It's a little full, yeah. But I have been watching a lot of Brad Pitt movies.
Ooh.
I watched Legends of the Fall last night, Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah.
7 Years in Tibet.
Oh, God.
And Glorious Bastards.
Good one.
There's some good movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just on like a Brad Pitt.
There's some
kick right
there's
now.
There's some flaws there, but they're great. They're
you need to do Interview with a Vampire.
That, oh, so good.
That is incomplete. That turn is incomplete without revisiting that one.
Yeah.
I was awakened sexually by Interview with a Vampire.
It's got Tom Cruise. It's got Christian Slater. It's got Brad Gowns, Pitt.
It's got everything. It's got.
I can see how that would be.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes. Antonio Banderas.
Hi.
Yeah.
In his prime.
Yeah. Long hair Brad Pitt. I mean, come on.
Long hair Brad Pitt. Between him and John Smith and Pocahontas is probably my proclivity for white men.
Yeah, right there. That's the
But he's native apparently.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah. He's like Cherokee, like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did some genealogy and looked it up. And
yeah.
Did he go on? Did he do 23andMe or Ancestry.com?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Who knows? He could be. I don't know.
Let's see him take up arms for indigenous rights before he can start claiming any nationhood.
Yeah. We're already attacking him. And
he's not here. A damn
you know
thing.
What? Brad Pitt, get down here and defend yourself.
You know what? I am days away from taking my number one stan, Shania Twain, to task for not being vocal about her indigeneity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm I'm very close. Considering I have receipts that she is a registered.
You have receipts?
She's a status Indian.
You have receipts?
I have receipts on her.
Mm-hmm.
She is a status. I said it before in the last podcast, I think, that she's status Indian. She's registered with a nation in Ontario.
So come on,
bitch.
So
it's very interesting to me that she was.
Shania, come on down to the basement. We'll talk it out.
Come on over.
Open to the basement.
Come on over.
Come on over.
Coming over, bitch.
Oh, you did it. You went there. You went there. I like it.
I know. I cannot put someone on a pedestal without.
Without
checking the receipts. Yeah, she's like, the other day I was listening, I've been listening to Spotify and working in the studio, and just like, I can't listen to Ariana Grande.
Oh, God.
She's like, I've been listening to her like Ariana Grande radio on Spotify. She has some bops.
Sure.
I'm not going to take
Girl
that away
sing.
From her. And I had to like message people like, is there a reason why I shouldn't be? Is there any reason why she's problematic? And then I got sent some receipts and I was like, okay.
Well, there you go. Step away.
All right.
Yeah.
Step away from the Grande.
Yeah.
Ariana, come on down. Talk it out.
Yeah.
Let's hear about it. Let's do it.
You the space. Well, we should probably wrap this puppy up. I have to go home.
Yeah, it's getting late.
I have
late.
Not eaten, so.
Oh,
that's.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that typical. Shirt? Did you guys make those shirts?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, it is
Hag shirt.
I'm wearing my Hag shirt tonight.
I almost brand. Wore mine today.
If it wasn't so enough. Sunny, I would have put a black shirt in the sun.
Yeah, maybe not the best. It was super hot. Anyway.
Take a lot to take enjoy, black out
I hope,
my
I hope you're enjoying your Hag shirts out there.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow Haglets.
Haglets.
So thanks so much again for listening. Thank you so much for coming, Jolene.
Yeah, for making the time for us. Yeah. This is very awesome.
And definitely go check out Vancouver Indigenous Fashion Week. Get your tickets online July 26th to 29th. And Evan's event is on the 28th. It's a red dress, so get a red dress and school yourself if you don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And figure out what nation you're city or your house or your neighborhood is on, and then fucking make some white people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Go it is time.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find us again on all the usual spots. You can find us fashionhags@gmail.com if you want to reach out. If you have an idea for an episode, we totally love that shit.
We love it.
Instagram and Facebook, we're fashionhags.
Twitter.
Podcast.
Yep.
Check us out.
Hit
do
us
all the shit.
Up.
Like all the things.
All the things.
And remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Fashion. Fashion. Hey.